Welcome to the 80s. After growing up in Norfolk, Virginia in the mid-40s and attending segregated schools there, breaking in to the civil rights activist role in high school and college, I came to Baltimore and came out as a gay man in 1974. And then I woke up one day in 1981, and I just lost one of the co-founders of the Lesbian Gay Community Center of Baltimore, who was a very good close friend of mine. And I realized that he had an illness that killed him very rapidly. He wasn't promiscuous, like all the stories and the theories, but just a regular guy, a very nice person. And he was suddenly gone, and his illness, we didn't know what it was. Well, as I progressed and got more involved and tried to find my way through how I was going to handle this, I was asked to do a letter of recommendation for Johns Hopkins to do some research on AIDS, and that was in the late 83. The principal investigator called me at home and said he needed a letter from me to take to Washington to justify Baltimore to be one of four sites in the United States to do a gay men's study. And I was a founder of a black organization, a gay organization here in Baltimore. And I said, okay, but I don't type, so I'm going to have to print this letter out. And he said, that's all right. I'll be at your house at 6:45 a.m. on my way to D.C. And he came, and I put it in an envelope and gave it to him. And Hopkins won that selection, and a research study started. And I participated and found that this was one way to try to find an answer to a big mystery. I didn't know how the virus was transmitted in 84. That wasn't known. Lots of information, helpful information, came out to the rest of the country and the world through the CDC and the papers and the research for this study. And there became a partnership with Hopkins and the gay community, supporting us in our gay rights fights, with testimony from the deans and the college presidents of the different schools. This helped us pass the 1984 Gay Rights Bill for Baltimore City. And while I was testifying on that, I got to be the chosen person to be on the 98 Rock 30-minute news bite for the whole weekend. People recognized my distinct speaking voice, and they realized it was me, and I was talking about discrimination at the workplace by a coworker, because he thought I had AIDS, and that he wouldn't speak to me. And there was this big fear at work that I was going to sue, because I had this reputation of being an activist. And I actually got, surprisingly, an apology for all the gay jokes from my boss. And that was my outing over the newscast. But then I went on from doing that to participating in the study and organizing the first African-American Conference on AIDS in Baltimore City. And that was done with an organization called HERO, Health Education Resource Organization. I went on to do the first national conference on gays and lesbians and the African community involved with AIDS, and that was done in Washington, D.C., and that was 1986. And many different things for me to cope with my fears and my uncertainties caused me to be sort of an AIDS activist, which I'm happy to say I'm still participating in the study. I'm entering my 35th year now. There has been lots of information about me and the study that's helped many people across the world. And this shows that if you pull in yourself, you find a way to support yourself and others and make something scary turn positive. And although we didn't get a cure, I'm certainly proud of being a participant in that. And I think one of the things I love is the latest thing, which was to say that we're greater than AIDS. And that's a great theory to think, because in that journey, I found family members and grandmothers and people that needed help that came to me because I talked about this at family reunions and things and never stopped talking about AIDS and spreading the word. So, and that's my story. Thank you.